This morning, I thought we could just nibble away at that verse and try and understand a little bit about what Easter is all about. And it started off, that verse, because you all know it now, remember Jesus Christ. Now, if you're like me, I'm very forgetful. Very forgetful. I have to-do lists. Other people have to make me to-do lists because I forget. And sometimes I forget the to-do list. And we forget all sorts of things, don't we? But this verse is written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Timothy. And Paul is in prison, and he doesn't quite know kind of what's going to happen next. He thinks the end of his life might be close. And he's encouraging Timothy in a letter to keep on going as a Christian, even though it's tough and difficult sometimes, to keep on going. And he says, remember, Timothy, Jesus Christ. He is the most important person there is. Remember. Now, when Emily says to me, Adam, remember, got to put petrol in the car. She's telling me that because I've forgotten all about the petrol, okay? And it's not something I need to remember all the time. When I'm at work, I don't need to think about the petrol gauge. But she's telling me at some point I need to remember so I can put petrol in the car. Paul isn't saying remember in the same way. He's saying remember all of the time. Make Jesus Christ your constant focus. Constantly in your memory, think of Jesus Christ, because he is the most important person. And we're going to think this morning a bit more why he's so important and why we need to remember him. Remember Jesus Christ. But we're going to just nibble away at this in a few bite-sized chunks. The next bit is, okay, risen from the dead. That's the next bit, okay, risen from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. That's what we remember, isn't it, on Easter morning? He isn't dead, he is alive. And he's kind of folding over a bit there, okay? And this section of the verse is shouting something at us. It's shouting something to us about who Jesus is and what he came to do. First of all, who he is. Risen from the dead, shouts at us that Jesus is God. People like you and me, we don't rise from the dead, do we? If you die, you die. Sometimes you could be resuscitated, but ultimately we do die. We all die. But Jesus did die. But he came back to life again. He was really crucified. He was nailed on a cross. He had a spear put in his side. He died. But Paul says he's risen from the dead. He's God. He's shouting to us that he is God. But you know, risen from the dead also tells us something about what Jesus came to do. Risen from the dead tells us that he is Savior. You see, it's all part of God's plan that Jesus would die on a cross. He said he would die on a cross, and he did die on a cross. He said he would rise again, and he did rise again. And it's all part of being a Savior. Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior. And on Good Friday, when he died on the cross, we remember he took our sin and our shame and our guilt on himself and was punished. And rising again, he's showing to us that he's paid the price. The price has been accepted. He's won the battle. He's beaten our sin. He's beaten death, beaten Satan, and he's alive. So risen from the dead tells us that he's God. We don't rise from the dead. God can do this. Risen from the dead tells us he's Savior. He's saving us from our sins. Saving us from the result of our sin. This, I'm not very good at English, okay? I was never good at English. But this is in the imperfect tense. Do you know what that means? Well, apparently it means that that Jesus, something happened in the past and it has continuing effects in the future, in the present, okay? It once happened that Jesus rose from the dead. 2,000 years ago, we read about it. Mary and the women went to the tomb and he was alive. He had died and he rose from the dead. But when we remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, we don't just remember an empty tomb. You see, the continuing effects are that Jesus is alive today. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what we should write. Jesus Christ is alive. He did rise and he is alive today. Isn't that wonderful news? Thank you. It is. He's God and he's our Savior and he is alive. So remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. That's what we remember, isn't it, on Easter Sunday morning. But our verse goes on. And the next bit is the offspring of David. The offspring of David. Now, what does this tell us about Jesus? When we remember Jesus, we should remember the offspring of David. Yesterday, I was talking to Leah or Dora about our cat. And I was telling Dora about our cat's mother and father. They were cats. They were. Pink Gin was her mother. And I don't know about the father. An elusive blue, British blue, I think. But yes, that's our cat's heritage. Okay, now, her descendants were cats and she's a cat. And this verse tells us that Jesus is a descendant of David. That means he's the offspring of David. David, go back a number of generations, he'd come to David. Now, David was a man. He was a man. He walked here on this earth and he did things that men do. And he thought like a man. He was a human being, like you and me. And Jesus was a man. This is what this verse tells us. He was really a man. So he feels like we feel. He knows when we are lonely or when we are sad, when we're upset, frustrated, fearful. Jesus is a man. Just like that, he knows what we feel. He's God, risen from the dead, but he's a man also. Really took on flesh and walked this earth. But this verse also tells us something else. It tells us who he is, that he was a man, but also something of what he came to do as well. You see, David was a king. He was King David, wasn't he? And he was a great king. While David was king, there was peace in the kingdom of Israel and people were happy. He ruled under God and reflected God's character. And Jesus is a king as well, a descendant of David. You see, the Bible promises, God promised to David that one day a king would sit on David's throne forever. Forever. And Jesus is that king. And he is alive. He rose from the dead, and so he's alive today, and he is that king on David's throne forever. A king forever, ruling and reigning today. So remember Jesus Christ. He's the most important person. He's risen from the dead. He's God, and he's Savior. Offspring of David, he's a man. And he's a king. Right, so we're chipping away at this verse, okay? And we've come to the very last bit. And there is, by the way, I should say there is a creche. If you're bored of what I'm saying, you're welcome to go out. You have to be a little bit little. Otherwise, it's just rude. Okay, but we're going to just draw this together now, okay? Because Paul says, as preached in my gospel. That's how he finished it. And gospel means good news. Good news. And this is good news. What we've been thinking about. And I want us to draw it together. Four things. Four reasons why this is good news for our today and our tomorrows, our present. When you wake up tomorrow and you've got the difficulties of Monday morning or Tuesday, or when we face bereavement, when we struggle with difficulties, this is good news, okay? And I want us to think about four things. Firstly, Jesus Christ is living. That's what we were thinking about. Risen from the dead. The Bible describes Jesus as being like a high priest. A high priest was a man who would represent the people of Israel to God. And the Bible says that Jesus is like our high priest. He's alive. He's alive. He really is alive. He's in heaven. And he's a man. He's fully God, but as God, he took on human flesh. He became like a man. And in heaven, as a man, he knows what it's like to be a human being. He knows what it's like to face Monday morning. He knows what it is like to be fearful and frustrated and to face struggles and pain. He knows what it's like to feel bereavement or loneliness, to feel rejection. He knows. He knows what you are feeling when you can't sleep at night. And you've got all sorts of things running through your mind. Jesus knows what it's like to be like you. You know, when Jesus was walking on this earth, if you read the Gospels, you'll find that he was such a caring and compassionate man. When he saw the sick, he would heal them. And one day he was tired and there was crowds of people around them and he, you know, humanly, his disciples were probably, come on, let's get away from these people. But we read that Jesus looked at the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I feel harassed and helpless very often. Every day I feel harassed and helpless. But Jesus is full of compassion and care. And he's alive. He's alive. And he knows what it's like to be you. And he has compassion and care for you. And we're like sheep without a shepherd. And our shepherd is alive in heaven. So first of all, what can we draw from this tomorrow? He is living. Our high priest is alive and interceding for you, pointing to his sacrifice as the means by which we can be forgiven and know peace with God. He's alive. Secondly, this verse tells us he is reigning. He's the king. Yes, he's the man, but he's the king and he's God. If he was just a man, then his care and compassion couldn't do very much, could it? But Jesus has shown to us that he's God, he's risen from the dead, he's smashed death and Satan and our sin, he's God. And as God King, he's in charge of all things, powerfully reigning and sustaining, giving us life and breath, sovereign over everything, over Satan and his plans and all the wrongs in this world. He is God, King, and he's reigning in heaven now. So when you wake up tomorrow and you face the difficulty of the day, remember, not only does he care for you and have compassion for you like a shepherd for his sheep, but he's a mighty king and he's God in control of all things, including your struggles and your difficulties and our worries and fears for the future. He's God and he's sovereign over all of those things. And he's bringing everything together under the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's living, our high priest. He's reigning, God as king. Thirdly, what can we draw from this? He's our example. He's our example. You know, Paul, remember, is encouraging Timothy to keep on going day by day, struggle by struggle. And he's used various metaphors for how he needs to carry on. He said, you need to be a bit like an athlete, Timothy, or a bit like a soldier, a bit like a farmer. But then he says, actually, the best example of all, Timothy, is to look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, the God-man. And he struggled and suffered like we could never struggle and suffer. He faced the darkness of the cross and suffered in our place. But as an example, he shows that suffering comes before glory. You see, Easter morning came, didn't it? Jesus rose from the dead. Indeed, he is risen and ascended, and he is Lord of all. And one day every knee will bow before Jesus. Suffering first, and then glory. And as followers of Jesus, we should expect suffering. We should expect difficulties for the name of Christ, for being a Christian. You know, around the world today, many, many Christians face martyrdom, face being killed. They have the fear of that every day just for saying, I love Jesus. Jesus says we should expect suffering, mockery, ridicule, isolation, all of these things. But remember, Jesus, your example, suffering, but then glory. Glory awaits those who follow Jesus. That is the pattern, and it is worth it. It's worth the struggles and the difficulties because glory vastly outweighs anything that we could go through here. So Jesus is our high priest. He's living. He is king and he's reigning as God. He is our example. But you know, before Jesus can be your high priest and your king and your example, before all of that, this verse reminds us that we need to own him as our Savior, as our Savior. Jesus, remember Jesus, that means Savior. Either Jesus lived on this earth or he didn't. Either he died on a cross on Good Friday or he didn't. Either he rose on Easter morning or he didn't. Either he's alive today and reigning as the God King, as your high priest, or he didn't, and he's a figment of our imagination. If he didn't do any of these things, this is a waste of time. But if he did, and if he is, then he needs to be our Savior before anything else. As we thought on Good Friday, we have sin and shame and guilt. And he came as Jesus, as Savior, to take all of that away. And he rose to show that he can deal with our sin. And before we can know the comfort of all what he is and what he can do for us, we need to come on bended knee and own him as our Savior. Jesus. We're going to sing again in a moment. See what a morning, glorious and bright. It was a most glorious morning. But if you don't know him as Jesus, that's where you need to meet him, even this morning, as your Savior. And if you do, this week, when you wake up every day, every moment, in the back of your mind, whatever we're doing, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, offspring of David, God, Savior, human, high priest, king, reigning over all things. He's living, he's reigning, our example, and he is our Savior. Amen.